Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our first reading comes to us from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verses 17 to 22. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, which is also on the screen, but you're welcome to follow along with whatever translation you may have. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back for it to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. Thus ends our first reading. Our second comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 25th chapter. It is a long passage, so I'm going to invite you to remain seated, but please prepare yourselves to be in a posture receiving the gospel, the good news. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 31. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? When was it that we saw you thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these, you are members of my family. You did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he answered them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, you continue to call us to be your beloved community, to assist you in the good work of building up the kingdom here on earth, and to share the good news of how your gift of love unifies and ties and brings us together. As we hear the words given to those who were released from slavery, who wandered for so long and were preparing to enter into the promised land, we hear these words of what you have asked of them. And then we hear the very words of Jesus, of what it is that you ask of them and of us even today. So God, as we continue to reflect on what it is that you are calling this church, this body to be in this season, in this place, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us to open our hearts, our eyes, our minds, to see what you see and to love as you love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, we began an intentional season using Beth Christman's resource, The Faithful Path for Now, recognizing that church as a whole is in a very changing landscape. The church that many of you grew up with was often the center of life, where that is where you went on Sundays and Wednesday nights and in the middle, and that was your community, right? That was where most of your friends were. And now here we are, many years later, where coming to church is a choice, one that we have to intentionally make, because we have so many other places where we can connect and be with other people. Whether as parents of kids in sports, we build community with other parents, right? Or maybe in our neighborhoods, we have people that we gather with on a regular basis for game night. Or I know I used to play bunco with my neighbors, right? Or with a mom's club, or you know, if you have friends that you play pickleball with, right? You have choices to build community and to care for one another that is outside of the nature of the church. And yet, there is something so important about the community that's being built in church that has drawn you here. And I believe that is truly God's grace working in and through your life to say, I desire to be in right relationship with God. I desire to live that relationship, to be encouraged and held accountable for others who are seeking to be faithful to God's call upon their lives. And so we come to this place to be in church together and then say, okay, but it's not about us, right? What is God asking of us as we go out into the world? What are we called to do? Who are we meant to be? How is that made visible out into the world? So knowing that church is very different and that we as this church have lived through so much transition in a very short period of time, it's important for us to call upon God's Holy Spirit and say, God, what are you asking us to do now? What are you calling us to do in this moment so that your work can continue next year, 5 years from now, 25 years from now? And it requires us to be reminded of some foundational truths that we hold as the basis upon which we build and we grow. Last week at Brunch Church, we talked about the identity of God, and the foundation upon which we live and grow is recognizing that God is a God of what? Love. And from that, everything else is built upon that, right? So if we recognize that the story of God is one of love throughout the arc of the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, the whole story is about God's love for us and God's desire to be in right relationship with us, and how we can do that by being very attentive to how we stay in love with God and how we engage as a church, right? And we talked some of the ways we can do that. Like praying, right? Sometimes we pray and we might do this laundry list, or maybe we're journaling, but praying is also pausing and leaving empty space to hear God speak to us. Or it might be worshiping, coming here to this place to say, "You, God, are far beyond the words I have to describe about your nature." But this idea of love and how we stay in love with God, right? And we come to worship, not because we have the answers, but because we realize there is so much yet that we don't know. There is so much yet that God is asking of us that we are yet to do. And we cannot do that on our own, but everything that we need, God will provide to us to do that in the world. And then we are called, and it reminds us of the "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Right? This combination of these ancient texts that give us this mandate to love God and to love one another. And when we think about loving one another, and we hear this in conjunction with this Deuteronomy text. And Moses is preaching to those people. He has spent a long time with them saying, "Where you're going, I'm not going to be able to go, but I need to make sure that you are clear about what you are expected to do once you cross into that promised land and how not to forget who you are or where you came from and who you will be engaging with." Because sometimes when we get to a place, a precipice, if we feel like we finally arrived or we're successful, we forget the struggles that brought us to that place. Or we get so blinded focused on continuing on that trajectory of accumulation of wealth or resources, forget that there are many around us who may not even have the basic needs. That's basically what Moses was telling them. You know, don't harvest everything and leave nothing behind. Because there are those that even your discards will be of great blessing to them. And it's that same story that we hear, you know, of Jesus walking through the wheat fields and plucking the grains of wheat on the Sabbath day and being accused of working on Sabbath, but reminding us that even though we may harvest a field or harvest the vines, that it doesn't all belong to us. It's God's first. And God's primary care is taking of those who may not have what they need. The orphan, the widow, the alien. And then we hear this story from Jesus, right? A lot of the Gospel of Matthew is this connection between the Old Testament story into the reality, this lived ministry where Jesus is embodying what God wants us to know and how to live it and how to walk the walk and talk the talk and share the good news. And we're coming to the end of Jesus' life in the Gospel of Matthew. And there are people that are still trying to counter what Jesus is teaching and say, "Who is my neighbor?" Right? Because if I can define who my neighbor is, then I don't have to necessarily do what God asks me to do, because I can do just enough for those that I actually want to take care of. But that's not what this text is telling us. This text is telling us that we are going to be separated by how we live our lives. I don't know about you, But that terrifies me sometimes. Because if I actually take the moment to pause and say, am I being faithful to what God is asking of me? Am I doing that well? Or am I thinking that I've got all the answers and I don't need God's help to tell me what to do or how to care for other people? I'm going to end up in the goat pile. I don't want to be a goat. But sometimes I'm a sheep and sometimes I'm a goat, and regardless of where I fall, here's the truth. God is not done with us yet. There is still opportunity to modify and grow and to live differently, to pay attention to what God is asking of us, to go back to the basic needs. How many of you have dealt with kids and you're like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? And wait, I'm going to reframe that. How many of you have dealt with adults and thought, oh my gosh, what is going on? And you're like, are you hungry? Do you need to take a nap? Are you cold? Are you hot? We go back to that basic needs because the character of that person is so far out of bounds. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love you, but right now I really don't like you. And how do I take care of you, right? And, you know, sometimes we do that with kids. It's what Maslow's general hierarchy of needs, right? And once we can meet those basic needs, then we can get to a different level of needs. The how are you emotionally today? Are you overwhelmed? Are you stressed out? But until we meet those basic needs, meaning we got to get past that primitive part of our brains, that we can actually lodge into those more cognitive thought processes to like really get into some of that, right? That basic needs. And that's what Jesus is saying. Are we loving our neighbors to their basic needs? How many of you have been engaged in ministry work where you said, hey, we've got this great idea we're going to do. We're going to make sure that everybody gets a bag of food every week. And we don't care if they want it at all, but they're just going to get what they get. No. Is that being really attentive to what that person might need? Or is that more about what we think they need and how it'll make us feel better? Do you see the difference there? And that is basically what this text is telling us. Are we actually attentive to those around us and what they need? A lot of times in mission work, we don't take the time to listen. We don't take the time to really get to know our neighbors, God's people, and say, what do you need? What do you need physically? Do you need a snack? Do you need a bottle of water? Do you need a coat? What do you need emotionally? How can we be supportive to you? And that's where making sure some of these other resources are available, like talking to a chaplain or mental health resources, to just have space to just download the regular day-to-day things that happen. But as a church, we're also called to be mindful of spiritual needs. What do we need to remember that God is love? What do we need to remember that we are part of something bigger than our individual selves? What do we need spiritually to go out into the world, not to make ourselves feel better, but to do the work of restoration and reconciliation that God is already doing in the world? So friends, as we continue on this path of faithful path forward of what is God asking of us to do, part of our work as a church is to say, one, who are our neighbors? Who are the ones that we live beside? I'm in a new neighborhood, and I got to tell you, I might know the names of like two or three households, but I don't go out and get to know them quite like I might have in the past. And that's admission on my part. And how many have recently moved here and just trying to get engaged in this community and don't even know where to start? Because those social networks that would have been part of the church 50 years ago doesn't exist now. And so then we're thinking, oh my gosh, can I be part of a PTA or a parent group or sports group or social club or whatever so that I can have that network, right, of who my neighbor is? But those are often all because of some common point of interest and not necessarily the broader understanding that we are humans created in the image of the divine. Who are our neighbors? And what do they need? That means building a relationship, having conversation, and letting them tell you, telling us. It would be really helpful if, fill in the blank. And that, friends, is where God is calling us to reflect and pay attention. I think there might be space on your bulletin where there's a little spot, and maybe you can do some reflection this week and say, who is my neighbor? And it can be who you're physically living near, or it could be who you're at work with, or who you see at the grocery store, or your auto mechanic, or your doctor's office, the people that are sitting in that waiting room with you. And what is it? How can I ask them what they need? How can we ask our neighbors what they need? What do they need physically? What do they need emotionally? What do they need spiritually? And how are we called to meet those needs? Because in doing so, we are sharing God's love. And friends, that is what we are called to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.